Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. I'm Alex Michaels. And this week, two really interesting conversations, one with Rob Bonta. Later, we will talk with Bill Plaschke of the LA Times about sports coming back and fans in the stands in California ballparks. But let's begin with Rob Bonta, who this week was appointed to one of the biggest jobs in all of California politics, California Attorney General. You think of the last three attorneys general. You got Jerry Brown, who became the governor, Kamala Harris, of course, becoming the vice president, and Javier Becerra just this week officially becoming the Secretary of Health and Human Services, which leaves the opening now for Governor Gavin Newsom to make a choice to submit a name to the legislature. Still has to be approved there. The name that he picked is Rob Bonta. A lot of pressure from the API, Asian Pacific Islander community, to pick somebody from that community, and he did. Rob Bonta, the first Filipino-American potentially in that job. Somebody who's got quite a story. Came here from the Philippines. His parents were activists, worked with farm workers. He'd go to Yale and Oxford and work in the DA's office in San Francisco, work in the California Assembly, which is where he is right now, and now potentially the next Attorney General of the state. So in his first interview since being named a potential Attorney General, he spoke with us here on The Issue Is. So here is Rob Bonta. Rob Bonta, welcome to The Issue Is for the first time.
Thank you, Alex. I'm honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
After that intro, what job are you going for after this one? No, I'm kidding. You don't have to say that. Let's start with the question that I ask every candidate who's going for a job, and we appreciate this is the first interview you've done since being named into this role. Why do you want this job?
I want to make the fights of everyday people my fights and be their champion, fight for them, do more justice, help people, and solve problems.
I think we should get to know you a little bit. A lot of folks watching on our station, KTVU in the Bay Area, are very familiar with your work, but people watching on some of our other stations are just learning about you this week. Let's talk for a moment about your background. It's quite a story, your childhood. You were born in the Philippines, but you came here as a baby. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, my parents, both lifelong social justice advocates and activists, my parents were working in the Philippines as missionaries, serving people, helping others. And when I was born in Quezon City, Philippines, and Ferdinand Marcos was the president at the time. He was inching ever closer to his now infamous declaration of martial law. And when I was 2 months old, my parents moved to California, and specifically to a very special place called La Paz, the headquarters of the United Farm Workers of America movement outside of Bakersfield in the Tehachapi Mountains. And they continued their service, their activism, their fight for social justice as farm worker organizers with the United Farm Workers of America.
And of course, the leaders of that organization, Cesar Chavez, Dolores Huerta, you actually lived in a trailer very close to Cesar Chavez. And as an adult, you've worked very closely with Dolores Huerta. What did they do to shape your worldview?
I learned some deep and important lessons about equality and also about justice, that an injustice against one is an injustice against all. And and that it is critical and important and valuable to fight for justice.
Now, this week, when Governor Newsom made the big announcement, your mom was on hand for that. We have a photo of you with your mom after that. And I thought a lot about this journey that your mom must have been on to go to escape political oppression in the Philippines, to come here, to live literally in a trailer, and then to have this moment this week where she watched her son be nominated as the Attorney General of the state. What did she say to you in that moment?
She said to me what she says to me so often, that she loves me and that she's proud of me. And that has been a fuel for me and an anchor and foundation of support. Speaking of her journey, she was on a journey for 3 weeks on a boat from the Philippines to California when she stepped on American soil for the first time. At 28 years old, as an immigrant, she fought for farm worker rights, as you said, in a trailer. She worked in the preschool there with Dolores Huerta while my dad was in the front office with Cesar Chavez. She continued to fight against the declaration of martial law and the oppressive rule of Ferdinand Marcos for years until the People Power Revolution of 1986. And she was a lawful permanent resident in this country for decades until 2010, when I had my first competitive election for city council in my hometown of Alameda, and she became a citizen so she could vote for me. Wow. So my mom has been my biggest supporter and my biggest inspiration for as long as I can remember.
As a mama's boy, I love hearing that. You would, of course, be the first Filipino-American attorney general at a time when anti-Asian hate is really in the news. You talked about this a lot during your announcement this week. In that job, as being the chief law enforcement officer in the state of California, what is your specific plan to punish anti-Asian hate?
Well, it's multidimensional, and let me just first say that the Asian-American community, and I know this from lived experience, from personal experience, as a member of the API community, is in a state of crisis right now. It's a full-on state of emergency. We had once seen individuals, you know, spit on and yelled at, later pushed down and punched in the face and assaulted, and now being murdered. And so it is really important for the people's attorney, the chief law officer of the state of California, to see and value our API community and to care. And also to take action. So there are important steps that we can take, including getting an anti-hate hotline that's up and running. But the most important thing is to prioritize and to care and to see these attacks in our community and be committed to taking action.
Well, we're glad to hear that not only you, but the entire Bonta family is passionate about this issue, including your dog. So we appreciate his passion. Yeah. You know, as a member of the Assembly, you championed a proposition to eliminate cash bail in California, and voters turned it down. Why were they wrong?
Well, I deeply believe in the will of the voters, and listened very clearly to what they were saying. And what I believe they were saying is that money bail is fundamentally unfair, unjust, and unsafe. But we're not yet convinced that the replacement system put forward in the proposition and in SB 10 is the right one or the best one. To me, there's no doubt that the money bail system, cash bail, is wrong, is unjust, unfair, unsafe, needs to be changed.
On a policy perspective, I know you've supported George Gascon, who is LA County District Attorney, who has a lot of supporters and some detractors as well, who feel that he's maybe gone too quickly on some of these criminal justice reform issues and wish that he didn't have such blanket policies. What do you say to some of those critics? And is what we're seeing with him something we might be seeing with you statewide?
I'm my own person with my own approach. I have the values that I just set forth around fighting for opportunity, equity, justice, and inclusion. And I've been in the legislature for 8+ years. I think people have had the chance to see my record, see the way I operate. I listen, I collaborate, I identify solutions. I try to find common ground, and I will continue to do all of that.
All right, let's play a quick game to get to know you better. This is where we have some fun. This is called Personal Issues. We put 30 seconds on the clock. These are rapid-fire questions. All right, are you ready?
Yes,
this is the
I think
hard
so.
Part. Okay.
Probably not, but I'll do my best.
What's your favorite TV show?
Oof. You're killing me on this. CNN.
Okay. Favorite band or musician?
Lupe Fiasco.
Oh, nice. Favorite sports team?
Manchester United. Sorry to all the other EPL fans.
Yeah.
But Manchester United.
He's a great soccer player in the past. Favorite sports, favorite meal?
Oof. Spaghetti and meatballs.
And one last question. You're also a father of three. How have your kids shaped your worldview? What have you learned from them?
You know, Alex, of all the titles I've had, my favorite is always going to be being dad, and my kids are everything. I have three of them. They're the joy of a lifetime for me, Reina, Ileana, and Andres, and they ground me in everything I do. I want to help fight for and create a future that I would be proud for them to live in. And you know, they have taught me that I need to do more and do better to address the climate crisis, and have informed me that I need to do more to address gun violence. And that gives me the fire to fight every day to turn those things into a reality.
Love hearing that. And just lastly, Tell us about your dog.
Well, gosh, I mean, he's been trying to edge his way in this entire time. So yeah. His name is Legolas. We got him from a shelter. He's named after the character from Lord of the Rings, Legolas, Lego for short. And he clearly likes to talk. My apologies for your interview, not just being of me, but of being of the two of us.
You know what? As somebody else who loves to talk, you can't hold it against him. Assemblyman Rob Bonta, thanks so much, and best of luck to you in the confirmation process ahead.
Thank you, Alex. It's an honor to join you. Thanks for having me.
Our thanks to Rob Bonta and to his dog as well. Now we want to bring into the conversation Bill Plaschke, one of the best-known columnists in the entire country. 8 times AP Sports Columnist of the Year across the country. Of course, he's often on ESPN's Around the Horn, where I would watch him for so many years. And we talked with him about baseball coming back next week, opening day, with fans in the stands in California for the first time in well over a year. What does that mean to our collective psyche? And where do we go from here? We also talked about the politicization of sports, and we got some predictions from him, too. So here is a really great conversation with Bill Plaschke.
Bill Plaschke, welcome to The Issue Is for the first time.
Thanks, Bo. It's really, I love the song Happy you played during the tease, because sports fans are getting real happy here in L.A. finally.
Yeah, I'm feeling happy, too. And by the way, for those Around the Horn fans, I have no way to mute his mic. So this he's got it.
Thank
right
gosh.
Here. Yeah.
That's a first. I get to talk forever. That's, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for that.
All right. So fans in the stands, what does that mean to you? What does that mean to this state? What does that mean to players?
Well, it's huge for our city. It's just huge. Last year, the world, when Kobe Bryant passed, the world saw us grieve. And then the ensuing 12 months, nobody heard us cheer. Nobody could see how we couldn't share in the joy. We won 2 championships last year in a 16-day span. And we missed it. The fans missed it. L.A. missed it. There was no I love L.A. There was no seventh inning stretch. There was no parade. There was no standing ovation. There was no hugs of the guy sitting behind you, or spilling beer on the woman in front of you. There was none of that. Sports at its best is a shared experience. It's a fabric that connects us as a community. We lost that connection. I mean, I want to be at Dodger Stadium on opening day when the fans can finally say thank you to the players, and the players can finally say thank you to the fans. The roar, there's only going to be 11,000 people there, but the roar will be unbelievable.
How do you think it affected the players? And do you think the players now have a different view of fans, where maybe before they viewed them a little bit of as annoyance, that now they think of them differently?
That's a great point. This whole pandemic in sports proved the MVP, the most valuable player in any game, in any event, is the fan. The players miss them terribly. Ask the Lakers right now what it's like to play a home game. It's a nightmare over the Staples Center. It's so loud and quiet. They can't get their own energy. They have a worse record at home than they do on the road. The fans, I don't think we had any idea, and the players had no idea. I had no idea how much the fans are not only part of the experience, but the experience itself. Not only do I think the players will get standing ovations from the fans should get, and probably will get, ovations from the players. I can see the players turning into the seats and clapping, because they miss them terribly.
Do you think we as a society now think of sports differently?
We realize sports now is bigger than sports. It's not about balls and strikes or free throws or shooting percentage or final scores or even championships. It's about coming together as a community to share a passion.
An inability of our representatives in government of doing anything about it.
Golden State Warriors coach Steve Kerr weighing in on the recent mass shootings in America. Kerr, so many of California's top athletes have become increasingly vocal about their political views in recent years. We're back with LA Times sports columnist Bill Plaschke. Now, one of the leaders when it comes to activism is LeBron James. Here is some of what LeBron said last year.
We are scared as black people in America. Black men, black women, black kids, we are terrified.
There have always been sports stars, Bill, who are political, but with social media, they can control their narrative like never before. What do you make of this moment for politics and sports?
Well, I think it's a wonderful moment. It's an intersection of the two. Finally, players are no longer content to just shut up and dribble as they have been asked to do before. They are real human beings. They're asking us to look at them not as entertainers or as cartoon characters, but as real human beings living in this real world with real families and real issues and real social justice issues. And when you hear LeBron James, the most famous, arguably the most famous athlete in the world and the most popular, saying he's scared, you listen. I think the players now have a voice and they're using it, and good for them.
You know, there's some on the right who say they don't want to see this much politics in sports, and they point to the fact that ratings for the NBA are down. Do you think that this is hurting the league's bottom line?
No, I think the ratings are down because everything was down during the pandemic because, again, people couldn't connect with the teams so they don't watch them on television. No, I don't think this is hurting the sport at all. These players, it's just highlighting the fact that these players are human beings, and they're just asking to be treated and viewed as human beings who live among us. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And if that can, and if LeBron James can speak out and get more people to vote and open up voting centers. In fact, if you look around the country during the last election, how many NBA arenas were voting centers?
Every one
because of
them.
The NBA players. How many stadiums and arenas are at vaccine centers? A lot of it's because of the athletes.
Okay. We like to do the serious stuff here, but we also like to have some fun. And while we have you, I want to get some help, especially for people that may be heading to Vegas. So, prediction time. All right? We want to get your picks because lots of big games coming up. So, we ready? Here we go. Your prediction. Who is going to be the NCAA champ?
USC.
You really think that?
I'm serious. They're good enough. They're loaded. People are sleeping on them. They're going to win it all.
Well, as a Trojan, I love hearing that. All right, who's going to be the NBA champ?
If LeBron James and Anthony Davis are healthy, it's the Lakers. If they're healthy. So yeah. I'm going to say they're healthy. So I'm going to say the Lakers again, back to back.
Okay. Who's going to be the World Series champ?
Oh, there's no question. The Dodgers. The best teams in baseball history. Well, I'm not a homer. This is just honest truth. I could live anywhere and say this. The Dodgers are the best team in baseball by far.
Yeah. And we're a ways away from this, but who's going to be the Super Bowl champ next year when the game is in Los Angeles?
Well, it's about time for a Los Angeles team to win it. And the Rams acquired Matthew Stafford. The Rams are going to win the Super Bowl. And I'm not just being a homer. They got the best quarterback. They have the best defense. They have the great coach. The Rams, it's going to be a home game. The Rams are going to win the Super Bowl.
Our thanks to Bill Plaschke. I think he's got a future in that whole writing thing. And by the way, such an L.A. homer. But as an L.A. homer myself, got to love it. Got to love L.A. Best of luck to all of the California teams that launch next week. The Giants, the A's, the Dodgers, the Angels, and the Padres. Of course, California has more Major League Baseball teams than any other state. We hope you'll join us next week. We got a big guest next week, Dr. Anthony Fauci. Yeah, he's coming on The Issue Is. Pretty cool. Can't wait for that. Until then, I'm Alex Michelson. Thanks for listening. Please connect with me in social media. Would love to have a conversation with you there. And we'll see you next week.